usually on the last Sunday of the year, we like to do something a little bit different. I like for you to hear from some of our people within the church. Sometimes it's a whole sermon. Sometimes it's a testimony or two. This morning, as I promised back in February, we're going to conclude our series in the book of John. We've been studying the book of John since February of 2024, and today it ends with four people coming to share with you reflections on specific verses that have meant something to them, that God has used in their life. So you're going to hear a testimony from each of these four as they come today. So I would encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you as each of these four come to share with you today. Would you join me for a word of prayer before they come? Father, we praise you this morning for your incredible goodness. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that it does not have to be taught by a pastor. But Father, your word is always powerful. And I thank you this morning for these four who've been preparing and praying for weeks to come up here this morning and speak to this church family today, what you have placed on their hearts about your word. Father, speak to them and speak through them. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Georgia, have fun.
Good morning. I'm Georgia Johnson, and I'm going to read John 13, 1 through 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew he was about to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." As I was reading this passage that I've read quite a lot of times, I couldn't help but think about how awesome the situation really was. Jesus, who created the entire world, the trees, the mountains, the people, the animals, left the glory that he deserves and left his throne in heaven to come on earth and serve us and die for us. Jesus, who should be the one whose feet are being washed, he's a king, he kneels down and does the lowest servant's job of washing his disciples' feet. And as I was thinking about how incredible this was, verse 15 stuck out to me. Jesus says, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Jesus wants us to follow his very humble example. And what does this mean for us today? It's a little different for us because we're in a different culture. But I believe that any way that to serve someone that is inconvenient, that nobody else in the world would want to do, that would set us apart, and it would be a modern equivalent of washing feet. And that leads me into what God showed me about my life as I read this passage. I'm almost graduated, and as I'm coming closer to that, I've realized that I have no idea what I want to do next. I don't know if I'm going to go to college or if I'll find a full-time job or if my life will turn out any way that I imagine it. And I stress about that. And I don't know what my purpose is supposed to be. But as I was reading this, I realized that I do know what my purpose is because he tells us. It doesn't matter if I get a job. Like, it doesn't matter what job I get one day or if I ever have a house or a car or anything else that I, in this world, you would think you would want. Because my purpose is to spread God's love and to serve others. And anything that God blesses me with in this life are merely tools to do that even better. God has shown me that I don't need to stress about the future, and I just need to focus on following Jesus' example of serving others in the day-to-day.
Good morning. My name is Sharon Dostal, who, for people who do not know who I am. God has used his word to impact my life in this study by focusing on verses John 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. By focusing on these verses, I am continuing to learn and grow by abiding in God and having a strong prayer life. The closer I stay to him, the more my desires align with God's will. By spending time in his word and following him, my prayers reflect his purpose. I'm learning to pray with confidence, knowing he will answer. It may not always be the answer I want to hear, but I'm learning not to question, but to accept whatever lesson goes with the answer. I have learned that the closer my relationship is with God, the more I pray and I talk to God throughout the day, the more I see him in my life. From the relationship with my husband to the spiritual growth I see in my adult children, grandchildren, and even my dog. On a recent trip, my husband and I went on with my oldest brother, Michael, who is a believer but does not have a relationship with God. We were sharing a meal, and I said we would like to pray. So we all held hands around the table and prayed. I believe Chuck prayed. The second meal we shared, it was Michael who suggested that we pray. That small act of staying in his word and being faithful may have impacted someone else. I know it has impacted me. One morning I was doing my daily devotional and morning prayer, and I asked God what I should do about the devotional Bible I purchased for all my children for Christmas. My youngest son and his wife, who are lost and have no relationship with God, I found myself wrapping the Bible, putting it under the tree. I don't like conflict, so I was unsure if I would give it to them. We ended up visiting them this past weekend, and they opened the Bible. Their response was not excitement, but his wife did say, "I've been curious and may read it." I will continue to pray for them, love them, and show them how God is good. I could spend hours telling you how God has been present and continues to show up, but I only have 4 minutes, so I'll leave you with this. Remaining in Christ requires us to be fully connected to Jesus moment by moment. It means believing that he is God's son, 1 John 4:15. Following him as Savior and Lord, John 1:12. Doing what God says, 1 John 3:24. Continuing to believe the gospel, 1 John 2:24, and relating in love to the community of believers, Christ's body, John 15:12. Thank you.
Well, good morning. My name is Chuck Dostal. We're going to reflect on John 17, 20 to 26 this morning. The verse says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So one thing that stands out to me in here is my walk this year has been about praying and prayer and praying, learning more and more about it. Not just the act of doing it, but actually meaningful prayer with the Holy Ghost leading me. One thing that stood out through this verse, through the whole chapter, was the timing of this prayer. So right before this, Jesus has the Last Supper, basically, right? The Passover meal. And the chapter after, 18, he goes into the garden where he's going to be betrayed and arrested. So to me, that tells me a little about the love Jesus has for us, that in all the midst of this going on, he stops, not only prays and gives glory to God his Father, but prays for his disciples, and then prays for you and me 2,000 years ago. The love he has for us to do that, and like I said, and what he's going through at that time, knowing what's coming, it kind of blows my mind. But the biggest thing is it shows the love, just the pure, unadulterated love he has for us. So the other thing is to be in unity with one another, and through that, glorifying God in all that we pray for. And the best way I found that since April, when we kind of started this journey, not knowing this was going to come up at the end of the year, but God's got a sense of humor, right? So it's about glorifying God by building up one another. So one thing I've learned is not just praying for somebody, but praying with somebody. There's nothing like it to be prayed over by somebody or to pray over someone. Not just for them, not when somebody asks, "Hey, can you pray for me? Something's going on in my life." Instead of saying, "Yeah, sure, I'll pray for them," stop and tell them, "Let's pray right now." You'd be amazed the sense of satisfaction and love you get of going through that and feeling Jesus' love come through you. Because most of the prayers I've said, I have no idea what I said because it's the Holy Spirit talking through me. I'll get done after a 2-minute prayer. No clue what I said. But I know the other guy is smiling, so it affected him in some way. Another thing is seeing my grandkids and kids, we pray at everything now. It doesn't matter what it is. We pray dinner, before dinner, after dinner, before they leave, we try to pray with them. And let's see what else. And the good thing is that all the praying you do, it should be to glorify God. You can ask for things, but make sure you're glorifying. That's where praying with somebody or over somebody is gonna affect somebody else, because that prayer will be answered in its time. And somebody will come back and remember that you prayed over them. And that love will keep continue to roll. So my simple prayer to you today is that may all of you find a joy and peace in Jesus Christ.
These lights are a little much for a dress, a corduroy dress and a jacket in Texas in December. Excuse me. Sorry, church. Good morning, church. My name is Sandra Allen, and I'm honored to be a part of our reflection service this morning. As we move through the book of John this year, I have been reminded on more than one occasion that the Bible is a clear reminder and a beautiful tool to display God's sovereignty and the way he orders time. The scripture Steve used each week for his sermon seemed to fall exactly so they lined up with things going on in my life, in our world, and in our church. But the ones that lined up the most to make an impact on my life was the sermon and scriptures the Sunday before Election Day. The focus of the sermon wasn't the election, but the trial leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. These are the verses that struck me, John 19:8-12. They read, "Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and when he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, 'You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you?' Jesus answered, 'You would have no authority over me unless it was given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has a greater sin.' As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar's. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar.'" Excuse me. Those verses reminded me who exactly is in charge and who gives power to those in power. God will use who he wants, when he wants, and the events on his calendar aren't swayed by my anxiety over who will win election day. So that Tuesday, as I prayed and waited like all of you, I took a deep breath and rested in the fact that no matter who sits in the White House, God is over it all. And that reminder would have been enough. But he continued to use these scriptures to teach me about authority, submission, and stewardship. And I need you guys to know that I'm like a hard-headed middle child and submission lessons don't go over very well. So here we go. Jesus had all authority to avoid crucifixion, or at least to come off the cross when it got too hard. Matthew says that all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to him, and Colossians says that things were created by him and for him, and that he holds all things together. Using his authority to stop or change the crucifixion would have messed up the eternal redemptive plan. Him staying on the cross is submission to the Father, to a plan and to good stewardship of the authority that he'd been given. That reminder from scripture was good, and it would have been enough. But God kept putting these scriptures in front of me as we went into the Christmas season. He lined up the sermons about Jesus's death as we prepared for his birth. I spent a lot of Christmas thinking about Mary and the role she played in Jesus's life, the authority she had as a parent. She would have a son, and she was going to be a mama. A son, a gift, a sweet baby boy. But she didn't get the whole plan, the big picture. All she knew was that he would save his people. What she must have felt 33 years later, standing under the cross, watching her son die. Her mama authority didn't stand up against the plan. Think about it, mamas. Someone coming for your kid. I would have shown all the authority of a rabid T-Rex to save my son from death. When they came for him in the garden, Peter would have been the least of their problems. But God used these verses to remind me that the authority is given to someone who stewards it way better than me, better than Mary, and way better than Pilate. The authority has been given to Jesus by God, who knows he will submit far better than anyone else. These verses have plunged me into contemplation to answer the question, what authority do I have, and am I submitting or stewarding it well? I am a wife and a mother. I have a job who puts me over people, both big and small. I am a daughter, a voter, and a citizen. And this season, I am a mama to a bird getting ready to leave the nest. Our oldest son, Caleb, turned 18 this month. There is no one who holds on to authority more than a mama whose baby bird isn't a baby anymore and is trying to establish his own authority. Because I said so doesn't take you as far as it used to. So as God used these verses to grow me, I have been asking myself, am I submitting to the plan? Am I stewarding this authority like Jesus, where I trust the person who gave it to me more than my comfort, more than my plan, and more than my timeline? Am I teaching my sons and my students about real and well-done authority? Am I shepherding my employees while trusting the Father to work out his much bigger and better plan? And ultimately, like Jesus, am I using my authority to bring glory to God? Because that is our greatest purpose. I am truly grateful for the lessons these verses and this season have taught me, and I hope this reflection of scripture helped draw me and you closer to him.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the incredible power of your word. We thank you that you use it to speak to us. And we thank you this morning that you used it to speak through these four and still to our hearts. Help us listen to you through the power of your word every day. And help us to abide in you, remaining close, knowing that it is always worth it to be in you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.